Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me here. I just came back from the States. I know I'm going to speak today and join the 1 week language training so I can speak fluently. I am ESL. So I was born and raised in Taiwan. I speak English because major is English in college, and my teachers really taught me well. So if they hear this, you guys get a credit. I just study really hard. So thank you guys. I heard last week Casey sang a beautiful song, right? And you guys are expecting that today? No, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Sorry. So growing up, you know, my parents, my family are not believers yet. So we will like go to temples for many different reasons. Temples, like if you want good grades, which I went a lot, go to this Confucius temple to confuse you, I guess. Sorry, it's a joke. So go to the Confucius temple to pray for good grades, and that's what I believed. You know, like if you want a good marriage, my parents never took me there, so. Oh, thank you. Joking. So you go to a specific temple to pray. So growing up, it just, you know, I had a lot of fear in my heart, feel like I had to go to temple to earn the blessings. And if I don't, then God is going to curse me and will not give me blessings. So my entire family operated that way. Some of the Chinese people here might understand what I'm talking about. So growing up, I never heard the name of Jesus, not once. I don't know who he was, no idea. I just know Confucius, Mazu, all this crazy stuff. Until 2004, I was in college in a tennis team. I met this guy. I think, oh, there you go. That's Clay. That's a handsome guy. I'm talking about that person on the left, on the right, you guys. So we met at the tennis court, and I was really interested in tennis, so we met through a mutual friend, Leo, and he loved, like, learning English. So I'm sure that he met Clay on the street and just invited him to the tennis court to play. So we just started playing tennis, nothing too much. We didn't talk a lot. And then that time, I think he has, like, a teammate, a roommate named Shane that also came to Taiwan to serve as a missionary. And so he, after we play, he just came to me trying to ask me to go to church. And my first thought was, like, where are your bikes and your uniforms? Because I thought they were Mormons. You know, I didn't know that anybody else that shared Jesus but Mormons. So I just said, no, you know what? I have my own belief, and I just want to play tennis, nothing more. I don't want to talk about Jesus, this guy. I'm not interested. And so after we done playing tennis, and I think I was invited to the movie night and game nights. I'm like, okay, I'll do movie nights. It's not going to hurt me. And some of you guys already know the story, how Clay and I, the friendship started to get closer because of this conversation. I remember was invited to the movie night watching Finding Nemo, first one. That tells you my age. So I was sitting right next to him. He wanted to have a conversation with me, and so he asked me, like, so Mark, what are you gonna do tomorrow? And I replied, I'm going to watch a movie the day after tomorrow. And he looked at me like, No, Mark, what are you going to do tomorrow? I said, I'm going to watch the movie the day after tomorrow. Some of you guys got it? And then, he had no idea I could speak English. And so he just turned to me and said in Chinese, like, 你明天要做什么? What are you going to do tomorrow? And I just replied in Chinese, I'm going to watch the movie the day after tomorrow. The name of the movie is The Day After Tomorrow. And we just started laughing, and that's how we, like, you know, our friendship started to form that time. It was like, oh, you speak Chinese and you speak English. And so from that moment, we just had a lot of things in common, paintball, tennis, sports. And I started to just get invited. I'm like, well, it's not, it's friendly. People are friendly, you know. I like to hang out with friendly people. And so we started just doing life together. And I got to observe how they do their life. It's so different. Like, I got to experience their reading their Bible, praying for people. I was trying, when I was looking for this photo, I have thousands of photos that during those times. I met him 7 months. And I was trying to look for a video. There's one time I remember so vividly that Clay just picked up a guitar and started worshiping, and people just started worshiping together. It was not planned. People just wanted to praise Jesus. And there are times when we're just having fun, and Clay will pick up his phone. He's like, hey, guys, let's stop and pray for this person. And we'll stop and whatever we're doing and just start intercede for that person. And I was like, that's very interesting. Like, you know, my old belief is like, all right, we probably need to schedule time to go to the temple, bring our offering, and let's hope God will bless us. But in the Christian faith, you know, how they love people, how they bless others just by small things in their life, that just really shocked me. And so, you know, I got to observe, and he had to leave. I was invited to like some Bible study and praying stuff. I had no idea how to do that. I just kind of observed. I'm like, ask me to pray. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, don't ask me. I'm just going to observe. So Clay left, and I was waiting for my time to go to the army, the military. And then I think I had like a month left before the army time. And the church asked me, hey, Mark, since you have some time, would you want to stay in Taichung, a church, and to like help translate? There's a mission team from Amarillo, Texas. And I said, okay, sure, no problem. So I team up with this guy, Todd Blackhurst, who also moved his entire family to Taiwan 6 years ago. And they're serving the Lord as well. Hopefully we can invite him to speak one day. So I partner with him. Again, in the time I was with Clay and the team, I didn't know much. Like, I just observed. That's it. So when Todd came, and I was translating the gospel for him to the college students, and I had no idea what gospels was. I was just literally translating. He will tell me the Bible, and I was like, okay, I'll memorize this verse in Chinese. So at the end of the trip, it was a great time again, just seeing how the way they love Taiwanese people, not just Taiwanese, the way they love people and love the student, can't wait to share Jesus to them. I was just amazed, you know, like they came over here just to bless us. And I just think they're weird. Why would they do that? You know, why would anybody do that? So at the end of the trip, Todd asked me like, so Mark, I want to talk to you about something. So we went to the apartment, just me and him. And he asked me, you know, like, you translated the gospel for me the whole 2 weeks. What do you think? I said, well, I don't know. Like, Jesus seems like a pretty nice dude, you know? And he asked me another question. He said, well, how about you? Where's your faith? Where's your faith taking you? I didn't have an answer for him. I sat there. I was like, good question. I don't know. All these years, I don't know how old I was that time. Probably 21, 22. All these years following my parents, you know, going to temples, pray for blessings. Where is this faith taking me? I said, I don't know. And he said, well, I don't know if I'm coming back to Taiwan. I love you guys. And I love you. Like, you're a great guy. And the only way I know that I will see you is you go to heaven. Because I don't know if you're coming to America. It's a pretty deep statement, you know, and some people think he used fear to motivate me, but I don't think so. I think I see a hope in that message, in that statement. He challenged my faith. Seriously, where is your faith taking you? You know, what we believe right here, some of us are Christians, some are not. Where is your faith taking you? I say, I don't know. I really don't know. He says, you know, there is a heaven, there's a hell, and you read the Bible and tell me. He gave me his Bible. I still have it with his name on it, Todd Blackhurst. I said, I'll read. I promise you I'll read. He gave me his church email. I said, I'll email you with all the questions I have. So we continued doing that for about 2 days, I think, after he left. Of course, Bible is a little bit challenging sometimes for new believers. So I asked a lot of questions, why would God do this and do that and do this? And he just very patiently talked to me and have a conversation with me. And so 2 weeks before I went to the army, you know, I have to move back. The team left, and I went back to Taipei, and I just like, God, I, that time, something inside of me, I want God more than anything. I was just confused about why those people are in my life and what they're doing here. So I just, okay, this is a picture. All right, before I start, if I keep this, if I ever have this kind of haircut, please slap me and unfriend me on Facebook. It was crazy. That's Blackhurst. That was me, yes! My gosh, so much hair. So I was just crying out to God. I said, God, who are you? Jesus, who are you? Like, I want to know you. I really want to know you, because it does not make sense. Like, these people took their days off work and just come here to just to tell me about your name. They're not asking for money. They're not asking for anything. They're just wanting me to know you. So I'm going to know you. I said, well, if you want me to know you, or if you, you know, can show me who you are, I will listen, and I would like to know. So I remember in the afternoon, I was praying, reading Bible. At that time, when I said I was reading Bible and praying, I'm talking about 4 or 5 hours reading and praying. I was so eager to know him. Like, I mean, I got nothing else to do, you know. But so I was just praying, and you know, John 3:16, my favorite verse, Tim Tebow's verse as well, you know, show up, it's like highlighted to me. It's so, that verse is so big, it's kind of covering the whole Bible. And I read that verse, and it was so alive, I remember, and I felt the Holy Spirit just fell on me, and I was crying. Yes, I cry, okay? Some of you think I don't have emotions. I cry. Some of you guys see me cry. If you don't believe it, join the leadership team. You will see me cry. So I was crying, and I heard God's voice saying, it's okay, follow me. And I was like, what? What was that? I thought I was crazy. Have you had this moment, like when you read so much or get into something too deep, then you start like have some moments with that thing? I thought I was crazy, literally. And I was like closing my Bible. I went to the school to run. And I was like, what was that? Todd was not here. Claire was not there. But our mutual friends are there. So I call Kyle. I said, hey, Kyle, like, I think I heard God's voice. And he told me to follow him. I'm not sure if that was him or I'm going crazy. And he was very helpful. He said, well, I don't know. He said, the only way to know is you pray again and he will speak. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Next day, same thing, I was reading John, and I heard the same voice coming back to me as I read John 3:16 and 17. And that verse, again, those two verses became alive to me, like I finally got it. I just felt the Holy Spirit on me, and I was bawling. Like, I felt his presence and his peace saying to me that, welcome to the family. It's okay, follow me. And I was crying because I met the King. You know, he brought peace to me. And I was crying also, I was repenting my sins. I don't know if you can relate to that feeling. Like, you feel his peace, but at the same time, you're so sorry about the things that you did. And I was just repenting my sins. And, you know, and Romans 4:2 says God's kindness leads people to repentance. That's what the verse is about. You know, he didn't do much. He pretty much just wooed me over his kindness and goodness. So that moment I was like, God, you're real. I'm going to give you my life. Like, it is so obvious. He wanted me to in this family. And of course, that time I told my parents, they didn't understand. It was tough times. I'll share with you later. So, you know, I feel like my story, my testimony, about how I met the Lord, it's really not what I did. The only thing I did is seek the Lord. That's the only thing I did. And just really wanted him more than anything else, because I was just confused and I really didn't have the answer about my life, about my afterlife. And so I was just seeking after him. And I hope my testimony encourages all of you guys, either Christians or you're not a believer yet, for us, Jesus followers. You know, my story with Clay and Todd, they care enough and love me enough to tell me the truth. And to be honest, that time with them was uncomfortable. When Todd asked me the question, I didn't have the answer. It was not uncomfortable. When I was at the time with Clay, when they were praying and they were asking me to go to like worship concerts, those times are not comfortable, but my faith was challenged. So do we have anybody in our lives that we can love them and we care enough to tell them that Jesus is the only way? Jesus loves you. I don't know, something you guys can think about. You know, those times were fun with Clay. Like, we went to night markets, we went to karaoke, we played tennis. Those are part of the lives. But the real question is, you know, my faith. I think that's the most important thing, God's salvation. I really believe that if things don't challenge you, they don't change you. So I feel like for us Jesus followers, we need to challenge ourselves. Sometimes we play too safe. You know, we're so afraid to ask that question. Ooh, like, do you believe in Jesus? It's kind of too much. But those questions will challenge them. You know, don't be afraid to ask that question. Of course, in a loving way, and doing life with them. And you know, 1 Corinthians 3:6 says we are the one that plants the seed and God makes it grow. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves. I do that too with my grandpa. But again, I want to encourage you, we are now the savior of the world. Jesus is. Our job is to tell people about Jesus, to love them like Jesus did, and pray for them, intercede, and love them. For not yet believers, I don't know what else is here is not a believer yet. You know, when you read the Bible, you see tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. When they encounter Jesus, they encounter love and forgiveness, and that's what happened to me. I was a sinner. I can tell you, I don't think I want to share, you know, my past stories. You know, I was a terrible kid growing up. I can share a lot of terrible things, but I think my testimony and my time today is to share God is faithful and God is better than your past sins, your present or even future. He is greater than any of that, and he loves to have a conversation or a relationship with you. I want to read a few verses to you. Matthew 7:7, asking you will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock the door and it will be opened to you. And also James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. And next one is John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Guys, Jesus is the only way. You know, the Bible talks about enter a narrow gate. He is the gate. He is the only gate. Even if you're not choosing gate, you're not choosing anything, and that's not going to lead you anywhere. And he makes it so simple, you don't have to wander around to look for different answers around the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come to me, you find life. So I want to give you these verses because I want you to know that my testimony is not only based on the encounter with the Lord, but, you know, it's based on the word of God, which is the truth. And it's to prove that God is faithful. He wants to have a relationship with you. He leaves the 99, goes after that missing one. I was that missing one. And now I'm found into his family. I'm forever grateful for what he did and all these people that did in my life, Todd, Clay, Brenda, I don't know. I told them about I'm sharing today, so hopefully they'll listen to the podcast. You know, and these truths are available to you. Those verses that I share in Matthew, James, and John, that's exactly what I did when I was seeking the Lord. And I just believe that he promised you will open the door when you knock. Sometimes it's not on our timing, but he will. So what do you do? I'll read you last verse. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sorry, this is the last verse. 1 Timothy 2:4-5. God wants all people to be saved and to come to know the to a knowledge of the truth. The ESL moment comes out right now. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. You know, two Sundays ago, I think it's the last series of Soul Care, right? Kevin encouraged us to get on a journey with God and get on a journey with the community. I think it's a perfect timing today. You know, if you do not know Jesus, you would like to know more. Please, don't waste today. Jesus loves and cares so much about your soul and your life. And Jesus has paid it all. And all you need to do is humble yourself and thank God for his salvation and to receive his gift. Jesus has already forgiven you. Would you receive it? That's the problem. That's the question. Let me repeat that again. Jesus has already forgiven you. Would you receive it is the question. So, and I'm not saying that your life will be perfect. In fact, maybe not. I told you my dad wanted to disown me. My family, none of my family understood what I was doing. They think I was crazy. When I went to the army, people took my food when I was praying for 2 weeks. And I took their food back, of course, while they're not praying. You know, like, and you feel short, you're still going to be short after you receive Jesus. On the outside, you're going to be the same, but on the inside, your spirit will be made new. You'll have eternal life, and you'll have eternal life with Jesus. What else do you want more? That's the most important thing in your life. Who cares about the rest of the things? I feel like the Bible talks about if you lose your life, you find your life. When I was preparing for my speech, I was like, wow, that makes sense to me now. That time, if my dad really wanted to kick me out, I'm like, well, so be it. I really had nothing else to lose. Nothing. I mean, I literally had nothing. Like, if you want to do it, do it. Because my encounter with the Lord was so real. Like, I cannot explain to you how do you feel peace. I can't describe peace, but I feel like you can experience that yourself today, you know? So, I'm so sorry. There's one more verse. John 14:27. Peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Some of you guys might not be a Jesus follower yet, and you want to receive, but you're so afraid. Oh, my parents, my friends, people will laugh at me. Again, peace God gives you is not what the world gives. It's so much better. So much better. So I'd like to welcome you today to be in his family. If you don't mind, I'd like to all of you to stand, if that's okay. If you'd like to receive Jesus' salvation, I don't know anybody here or, yeah, again, I don't know. I see everyone, but I don't know everybody. I don't know. I don't want to single you out or make you uncomfortable, but I really would like to offer this opportunity for you. You know, as Maya was sharing earlier, the campus, you know, I was the product of those two missionaries that came to me and plant seeds. And it's very important. And just be where you're at, and you know yourself better. If you do not know Jesus, or you haven't met Jesus Christ, your Lord, I really want you to do that. And you have to be willing to do that. So that's all, repeat after me, either you're believers or not. So, you know, those people do not feel uncomfortable. Father, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe Jesus died to forgive my sin. I receive that forgiveness. Jesus, I make you my Lord. I believe you're alive. And now you're in me. I am forgiven. I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.